870 WIPC. Aces Basketball.
Woo! NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man. It's Monday. It's April 16. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, the Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm back in Larry Armour Studios here in New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. During the NBA playoffs, just while repping Strayer a little bit, how good's that? Now, we're nuts deep in the playoffs already. We're wrapping all of the first round action from the weekend and talking about all the Saturday and Sunday games, including Big Simo crushing it, Patty Thrills' Spurs crapping it, and Jingler taunting Paul George and getting torched. And loads more. We've also got playoff editions of all the usual dumbassery, yeah nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, and because all of them are playing in the playoffs, we've got the Daily Australian Player Watch, where we check in and see what all the Australians are up to. Plus, it's Monday. All day, we have the Dickhead of the Weekend, an Andrew Gaze Memorial Award, and we finish up with a brand new deli review. Oh, it's classic. You know it is. It's just what Delhi does. Delhi do what Delhi do. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Australia. It's Monday. It's the playoffs. Let's do it. NBA Australia, let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Delhi over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better, because it is the daily whip around. That's what we do here every day in the NBA. Straight there. Nice one. So, playoffs, we're here. We've done it. We've finally got playoff basketball, and it is wicked. Wow, is it fun to actually be sitting there punching through a million basketball games. What a weekend this was as well. 8 games, 4 Saturday, 4 Sunday. I'll tell you, old mate wasn't impressed, but it's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm watching basketball. Still, yes, there's still 2 more games after this one as well. Oh, Jesus. Rough one, I'll tell you. But anyway, let's get to it. Let's wrap up some games. The first game of the weekend was Spurs-Warriors. Warriors smashed the Spurs 113-92. The Warriors pulled a fast one as well, starting Iguodala at point guard, which is pretty smart, really, because all of a sudden the Warriors are just too long for the damn Spurs at this point. No one shorter than 6'6 on the court. Jesus. And it works. The Warriors led by 23 going into the fourth. So that'll do it. Poor Patty Mills. It's stuck chasing Clay around and didn't go great. Clay leads all scorers at 27 on 11 of 13 shooting. 5 of 6 from 3. Pretty good, Clay. Pretty good. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists for the coward Kevin Durant. And did y'all forget about the Dre? You shouldn't. Draymond Green, 12 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. Pretty bloody good. Even JaVale McGee got in the action. He had 15. He scored 8 of their first 12 and just started, like, giving LaMarcus Aldridge plenty of headaches. Poor bugger. Tough one, I'll tell you. The Spurs, they are not even led by LaMarcus Aldridge. Rudy Gay off the bench has 15. LaMarcus Aldridge in 24 minutes has 14. I don't know, man. What do you reckon? This was over very quickly. The rest of their bench was out there. Spread it out. Warriors crushed it. Spurs like, oh, crap. We can't compete with this at the moment. And they really just need LaMarcus Aldridge to go out there and crush it. And that did not happen on Saturday. The Warriors, after that one win, were minus 1,100 favorites. And now they are minus 55,000. So that's gone a long way. The Spurs were plus 700. Now it's out to plus 1,500. Holy crap, dude. That is a big jump. We don't talk much about, like, you know, betting lines and crap, but Jesus, when it goes from minus 1,100 to minus 5,000 after one game, yeah, pretty sure Vegas are like, oh, Jesus. Better make it worth no one's while to put money on the Warriors. So there you go. Warriors crushing it. Good shit. Wizards, they go into Toronto and the Raptors finally win a game one for the first time in 17 years. Can you believe that? 114-106. They had a 10-game game one losing streak in the playoffs. Unbelievable. The craziest part was the Wiz actually led this 91-88 early in the fourth, and Toronto's collective sphincter tightened. Well, geez. But then they pulled it out. So for the Wiz, John Wall, 6 of 20 for 23 points. Didn't look great, though. I'll tell you that much. And yeah, 6 of 20. That won't do it. 15 assists for Fast Boy John there. 4 steals. Brad Beal, he had 19 points on 8 of 17 shooting. 3 steals, 4 assists. Markieff Morris. Out there crushing it. 22, 11, and 6. Pretty bloody good, mate, for Markieff. But really, it was like the dude's, Otto, I like to get Blutto. Porter, he had 9 and 7. Kelly Oubre Jr., he also crapped the bed as well. 3 points in 16 minutes. Not great. Not great, Kelly. Regional manager, Mike Scott, had 14. But yeah, the Wiz just wasn't coming from like enough angles. Satoransky had a rough one. You know, those sorts of dudes just couldn't get it done. For the Raps, they actually spread it around. There you go. 17 for DeRozan here. 17 shots. Through 17 points. Not efficient, but still worked. Big booty Kyle Lowry, 11 points, 9 assists, and was D'ing up John Wall like it weren't no thing. Serge Ibaka, 23 and 12 with a couple of blocks. 9 and 9 for my name is Jonas Valanciunas. OG Anunoby also had 12. And that's where it sort of came in for the Raps. They had the 9 and 9 for Jonas, 12 points for OG. The bench, Pascal Siakam had 9 and 5. CJ had 12 points. Delon Wright had 18 points, 11 of them coming in the fourth. Even Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, he had his 15 minutes, got out there, did some work. It was pretty good to watch. So there you go, Raps. I'm very, very proud of you. Wasn't entirely sure what to expect out of them in game one. They had to do it at some point. And the up and down Wiz, the roller coaster Wiz, seems like a good enough team to do it to. But you never know. The Wiz could now go out and sweep the rest of the series. Who fucking knows? I still don't have any clearer view of this goddamn matchup. Raps, though, smart. Drake was there, so that's a thing. but Saturday night, this was an absolute ball terror. 130, the Sixers, 103, the process. Oh, can you trust it? Can you feel it? Sixers smashed the Heat, win by 27. This was a joke by the middle of the third, even without Joel Embiid. And look, for the Heat, Embiid's not there, and Whiteside still sucked. 12 minutes, 2 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Goran the Flog Dragic, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Oh, was that worth a max contract and all-star spot? Oh, I reckon. Get fucked. Come on. Of all people, I reckon as well, the Heat were led by the goofy-ass mofo Kelly, that's a girl's name, Olynyk. He had 26, 9 of 13 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3. Jesus. Miami just wasn't a great showing from all their dudes. When you're being led by Kelly Olynyk, I don't know, man. Sixers, they ran off everything. The pace was perfect for those dudes. The craziest part is they also had the fourth most efficient three-point performance in NBA playoff history. They shot 18 of 28 from three. 18 of 28, that's 64.3%. Holy shit. That came courtesy of JJ Redick. He had 4 of 6, ended up with 28. Ilyasova, he went 3 of 4, finished with 17. Bellinelli, 4 of 7. Ended up with 25. The homie, Dario Saric. He went 4 of 6. He ended up with 20. Hot damn. That is some shooting. And how's Big Simo out there? Just crushing it. Ben Simmons. Big Dick Benny. 17 points, 14 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 steals. We were at the pub, old mate and I. We're going out for a very, very fancy dinner for the old anniversary there. And we go from a very, very, very fancy, fancy dinner place here in the old Manhattan. And we go to the pub. It's like, all right. Oh, looks like there's some Philly fans. Let's have a chat to these guys. End up getting them singing the Sixers song. It's for everybody. The 76ers. Singing that in the pub and then got them chanting Big Dick Ben. Big Dick Ben. Ah, it was the best. Ah, I love Sixers fans. They're so much fun. Especially when Simo is absolutely crushing the fucking Heat. So there you go. The process now has a playoff win on its resume. Unreal. Good job, Philly. And then the final game of the night, this was an absolute pearler. 97, the Pelicans win in Portland, 95. This is incredible. The Pels are up 19 in the third during this and still up 14 with 6 minutes left. And then the Blazers, they went, oh, wait, we should hit shots, right? Shouldn't we? Yes, hit the shots. That's what you do. Dame and CJ finally started hitting some shots. Portland got all the way back. 40 seconds left. They got a stop. CJ was driving for the go-ahead bucket and Jrue Holiday flat out stopped him. Just stonewalled CJ. CJ threw it away. And look, the Pelicans. I don't know if Elvin Gentry had like a stroke halfway through this because they never called a timeout. They didn't slow anything down. And that's what let the fucking Blazers get back into this. It was really weird. And then Terry Stotts may have also had a bit of a stroke there at the end because he had Myers fucking Leonard in. And say, hey, we need some buckets. Let's put in an ice cold Myers Leonard who's not played all game. I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem smart. A, it's Myers Leonard. And B, well, it's Myers Leonard. Jesus. Anyway, so Jrue Holiday, he pinned Pat Connaughton to the fucking glass like he was some sort of fucking insect. Holy shit. What an amazing block. That basically sealed the game. So for the Blazers, Dame and CJ combined to shoot 13-41. Ooh, not great. Dame ends up with 18, CJ 19. Nurk, 11-11, but was run ragged trying to guard AD in 24 minutes. So we also got a lot of Zach Collins. He had 22 minutes. Did little baby Zach, pretty boy Zach, and AD still crushed it because for the Pelicans, Anthony Davis, 35 points, 14-26 from the field, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 steals, 1 assist. Woo, on your brow. Look at that. Jrue, 21 points. That's Anthony Davis's first career playoff win as well. Don't forget, they got swept by the Warriors 3 years ago. Unreal. Jrue had 21 points and played fucking sterling defense everywhere. A beardless Nico Mirotic remains unbeaten. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks for him as well. 8 blocks between him and AD. Unreal. And playoff Rondo, 17 assists. That's pretty bloody good, I'll tell you. Pretty good. All right, so Sunday, what happened then? What do you reckon? Oh, let's kick into a different song. Don't mind this Sex Jedi stuff, but come on. There we go. Get a bit of Iowa. Bucks, they lose to the Celtics 113-107 in Boston. What a crazy end. This is in overtime as well. Amazing, amazing game. Giannis moves to center with like 3 minutes left, and the Bucks scored 19 points on 9 possessions to end the fucking game. Unbelievable. Thing is, it's all tied up. There's no time left. Terry Rozier crosses up Eric Bledsoe into just oblivion. Eric's just like, ah, fuck, whatever. And Terry sinks to three. They're up 3. 0.5 seconds left. And you're like, ah, that's it. All over Red Rover. No problems. On you, Boston. You've won it. And then Chris Middleton, out of nowhere, hits a 3 from fucking the other side of the Charles River. Holy shit. Unbelievable shot. And then it's like overtime. You're like, ah. Oh. And then Boston just smoked them. Because for the Bucks, Giannis had 35 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, but fouled out. He's all out there like complaining about calls. Meanwhile, he's jumping over the tops of dudes and like wrestling to the ground. Yeah, Giannis, you might get called for a foul here or there when you do that, mate. Just saying. Chris Middleton with that 3 as well. He also had 31 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a couple of steals. Bledsoe, though, had a shit one, 9 points. But Tony fucking Snell had an even shitter one. How's this fucking... Ugh. 2 points in 33 minutes, 1 of 4 from the field. Mate, do you know how many fucking points Delly would have scored in 33 minutes in a fucking playoff game? More than bloody 2. That's how many. Holy shit, Tony Snell. The fuck out of here. Malcolm Brogdon in his third game back, played 32 minutes, didn't look great, looked very rusty, really forcing shots too. He ends up with 16 points on 13 shots, but a lot of those shots were just like, dude, what is Malcolm Brogdon doing? Jabari Parker was not very good. There have been calls like, oh, they should play Jabari more. It's like, did you see that motherfucker try to play defense? It didn't go well. Running around like a fucking Mormon chook with its head cut off. Joe fucking Prunty, though, gave Delly and Thonsong DMP CDs. No, that's not a sweet fucking old-timey way of getting music. That's a did-not-play coach's decision. And look, Joe Prunty, I'm just saying. What gets you to the NBA playoffs? Having Australians on your team. What happened to this game? Oh, you lost? Did you play your Aussies? No, you fucking didn't, you galah! Jesus, Joe, wake up, mate. Put Delhi in. The Boston Celtics, Horford. The much maligned Al Horford came and brought the thunder in this one. 24 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. He was fucking great. 20 for Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum, the other half of the Double J's, had 19 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. But Terry Rozier, 23 points. Unreal, Terry. Marcus Morris had 21 as well. But seriously, bit weird, isn't it? The Celtics only just squeaked this one out against the 7th seed. All right, Pacers, they beat the Cavs in Cleveland 98-80. When I say beat, I mean fucking flogged. 80 points, Cavs. What the fuck is that? Pacers led by as much as 23 in this. Yeah. Jeez. Pretty brutal. So for the Cavs, we still had a LeBron triple-double, but no help from literally like anywhere else at this point. Not great. 24-10-12 for LeBron. 7 of 17 shooting, though. 0 of 4 from 3. And the rest of the team also sucked from 3. 8 of 34. Not great, mate. Not great. And as a team overall, they shot 30 of 78. Yeah, 38%. Not winning basketball. So who screwed up? 9 and 17 for Kevin Love. 17 rebounds is pretty tight. But come on, Kevin. Got to score more than 9 when you've got like Trevor Booker and Miles Turner on you. 15 for JR. But it was the Jeff Green shit show. George Hill, Rodney Hood. We'll talk about them a little bit later, but suffice to say, not great. Pacers, woo-wee, Victor Oladipo, 32 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. Unbelievable from Victor. Very good, Victor. 11 of 19, 6 of 9, nice, from 3. Holy moly, crushed it for the Pacers. The Cavs literally had like no one who was like, could match up, and he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to win this game. And did. 15 for Bojan, 16 and 8 for Miles Turner. This all leads to a Lance, make him dance. I love this. Indiana playoff Lance Stevenson is the best Lance Stevenson. Yeah, 12 points. Guard LeBron. LeBron had a moment as well where he's like, ah, oh, Mofo, you ain't blowing in my ear. And Lance is like, I could blow in his ear. It's pretty good. Pacers got him on the ropes, man. All they got to do now is win all their home games. Pretty good. Thunder, they beat the Jazz at home as well, and holy shit, 116-108. The final score here, 116-108, is a bit weird because the Thunder were probably up about 16. And look, Utah kind of gave up with about 2.5 minutes left, put the bench in, and they went fucking bananas and brought them back within spitting distance. Suddenly it was a game again. Alec Burks had this, get this, 10 points. In 2 fucking minutes at the end there. Unreal. Holy shit. But the Thunder basically just kept their dudes out there and went, oh, no, we're going to win this one, if that's okay. I reckon the Jazz got back within like 4 or 5 at 1.2. Holy shit. Anyway, so for the Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, hurt his foot, got stepped on by Corey Brewer, which might have been the most useful thing Corey Brewer did. Got taken out after trying to play through it. And sort of got back out there again, which is just as well because he's their entire offense. As you can tell, Ricky Rubio, he took 18 shots, went 5 of 18 because he was basically the last guy left to shoot the fucking ball after OKC just like smothered the jingler and Donovan Mitchell. So Rubio ends up with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. Gobert, I am the Staffel Tower, Rudy Gobert, 14 and 7, 13 for Jay Crowder as well. Looked okay. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, second highest playoff scoring game of his career with 10. Not bad. We'll talk about both Jingler and Dante later. For OKC, Paul George, or as he's calling himself now, Playoff P. I mean, sure. Paul, that's a good one. 8 of 11 from 3, 36 points. Torched the Jingler. Called Joe a bitch ass there as well. Enough for proof of that. Rusty nearly had a triple-double. 29 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. Steven Adams. Oh, kia ora, bro. Looked like he hurt his shoulder. Gave himself a bit of a weird dead arm. Like you were back in my year 10 maths class in Ballarat. Bang on. Massive putback slam, then his arm went dead. It's hilarious. Like, all right, settle down there. Come on, boys, stop hitting each other. Put it together like Jonah Lumau. End up with 12, 7, and 3. Carmelo Anthony, 15 points on 13 shots. Looked pretty good, though. there's a lot of other stuff going on with Melo too. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Is playoff Melo a thing? 11 for Abrines, and man, OKC just look good when they hit shots, don't they? Ooh, tasty. Then the final game of the weekend. How's this? Wolves at Rockets. What a crazy fucking finish this was. Rockets 104, Wolves 101. And hot damn, was this fun. Chris Paul almost added to his list of Chris Paul playoff fuck-ups with a huge turnover at the very end that gave the Wolves a chance at the very depth. Depth? The death. Jimmy Butler brings the ball all the way up. They're screaming out foul. They don't foul. Jimmy Butler freaks out, launches a long two that he airballs when they're down 3. Yeah, I don't know, man. Not great, Jimmy. I'll tell you that. Anyway, fun-ass game. This was like back and forth. More seesawing than a fucking Mill Park lumberyard, mate. Wolves kept their noses in it all game. They were leading at different parts. And man, if you expected the Rockets to just come in and fucking cruise, the Wolves are like, nah. But to be honest, this is the game the Wolves should have stolen because they had Derrick Rose. Best game he's played in like fucking 4 years. 24 minutes, 7 of 14 from the field, 16 points, and actually just looked good. Looked like an actual NBA player. He had 4 assists as well, 2 rebounds, 1 of 2 from 3. But at the same time, I don't know. Do you want Derrick Rose taking 14 shots and Karl-Anthony Towns taking 9? The answer is no. No, you do not want that to happen. Andrew Wiggins led with the shot tally of 7 of 15 for his 18 points. Al Jefe Teague, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Jimmy Butts, only 13 as well. And Karl-Anthony Towns, we'll talk about him in a bit. But Jesus, not great. Rockets, 20 and 10 for Clint Capela in the first half. Finishes with 24 and 12. Chris Paul, again, not a great one, man. 14 points on 14 shots, 5 of 14 shooting, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Ugh. But this was all the fast Jimmy Harden show, wasn't it? 44 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 15 of 26 from the field, including 7 of 12 from 3. Woo-wee! Fast Jimmy Harden, unreal. Roasted Andrew Wiggins, put him on an island there, and dropped a 3 in his face, all while traveling, by the way. There's like a little fancy toad footwork there from Harden that was a travel. But there you go. So there are all the games from the weekend. Let's get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the weekend.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
That is a knife, James Harden. 44, 8 and 4 to go with 2 steals, 15 of 26, 7 of 12 from 3. But come on. I don't know, man. Paul George, playoff P, that was fucking amazing. 8 of 11 from 3 with his 36 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, torched the jingler. Basically, just went, hey, yeah, okay, see, we're pretty good when I'm good, so maybe keep doing that. So good job, Paul George. That was awesome. How about old mate no mates? What do you reckon?
Old mate no mates. Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? What do you think, Stephen A?
Cleveland.
That's right, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Right there. Jeff Green, 0 of 7 from the field. George Hill, 7 points, 1 assist in 19 minutes. And Rodney Hood, 9 points in 21 minutes while you're getting your ass kicked by the fucking Pacers. I mean,
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I just don't know.
Ooh, Lord.
This is ridiculous. Lord.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephen A. That was pretty good. That's exactly what I think. But Cleveland, the rest of their shitheads are no mates. But Karl-Anthony Towns, this was a tough one to really just like sort of nut down and figure out. 8 points, 3 of 9 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He has 12 rebounds. That's fine. 12 assists, 1 block, but continually on offense. Couldn't take advantage of the smaller dudes that Houston was switching. Switching. That's all they fucking did. And every time this had happened, he'd have like someone fucking small on him, and he'd just go, I'm going to rotate back out to the perimeter. It's like, Karl-Anthony Towns, you're fucking unreal. Just go at these sons of bitches. And also, Tibbs, fucking tell him to do it. Make him do it. Set up shit that makes him actually, you know, puts him in an advantage when these switches happen. Get some other off-ball action happening going too, so you don't get another double team or anything. Come on, they're not going to double team. They switch. It's what they do. Chris Webber was going fucking crazy about this on the telecast, and so was anyone paying half attention. So Karl-Anthony Towns, come on, man. 9 shots? The fuck was that? I mean, maybe it's like a, oh, shit, playoffs. My first ever playoff game is a bit weird, but goddamn. Not great. All right, time for, what do you reckon, playoff edition of Lonzo better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. Who was better than Lonzo Ball in this first weekend of the playoffs? Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. Holy shit, what a murderer's row of rookie games. Big Simo, almost a triple-double. Donovan Mitchell, 27 points. Jason Tatum, 19 and 10. Oh, and they all, well, Ben Simmons won, Jason Tatum won, Donovan Mitchell didn't, but still, meanwhile, they all have huge first-ever playoff games, and Lonzo Ball is busy out in fucking Reseda, spruiking his dad's bananas shitbird baller league, or whatever the fuck he's doing. love it. All right, and who? Do you reckon we have a dickhead of the week? And you know we do.
Dickhead of the week!
End. I want to throw it out there again with, look, Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. Look, motherfucker, I'm not tuning in to the NBA playoffs to listen to you fucking bitch and moan about the refs. For fuck's sake, every goddamn time. It is so fucking tired now. Just chill the fuck out, would you guys? It's like, yeah, we get it. Like, the refs and like the game and oh, they're checking a replay. This is the worst thing that ever happened. Fuck you. God damn it. Get over it. All right. Let's get to the yeah nahs right after, let's say, this one.
Hi there. This is Joe Ingles and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's yeah, nah. We take some storylines from the NBA, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. We usually take three. I think we got like five or six today, so let's do it. Can Milwaukee, after losing game one, still beat Boston? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, I reckon. I just don't think it's likely until Joe unleashes his secret weapon. Delay! Still, Milwaukee, I think they realize that, maybe switching on defense will free everybody up and we'll play Giannis at center. Anyone could have pointed that out. What the fuck? Number two, can the Cavs come back after losing one at home? Yeah, nah. Yeah, it's going to be tough, though. The fucking Pacers are pesky and a problem, yo. Victor is a handful. And we need George Hill, Rodney Hood, etc. to, I don't know, like, play good. Because they haven't so far. Did the Rockets purposefully psych out Jimmy Butler on that last possession? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I reckon. Did you see this? This is a great fake out on the last play where they're like, hey, D'Antoni's like screaming, we're going to foul. Chris Paul's like, we're going to foul. And then they never fouled. Jimmy freaked out, spazzed out into taking a long two when they needed a three to tie. He airballed it. So a step back long two when you need a three to win and you airball it. That's literally the worst thing that could have happened. Fucking hell, beyond like you hurting yourself. I think he got faked out. It's just how it goes. Will the Blazers come back after losing game one? Yeah, nah, yes. I reckon they'll actually hit some shots in game two and fucking smash the Pelicans. I reckon they might even win it in five. There you go, that's a call. Oh, maybe that's an Outback Takehouse. Are you excited about any of the Knicks' potential coaching hires? Yeah, nah, not really. Mike Woodson? David Blatt? Mark Jackson, get the fuck out of here, but, David Fizdale, Jerry Stackhouse, now we're talking. Do that, Knicks. But you know they're not going to. And they're going to hire, like, David Blatt or Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson, don't forget, who fell ass backwards as a Knicks coach and into a really good Knicks team when he took over from D'Antoni and then fucked it up as soon as they all got healthy and into the playoffs. Yes, you should definitely hire that guy. That dude is crazy oblivious to what the fuck he's doing. Ugh. It's like, oh, but we want someone the fans already know and that can grow with people. Yeah, do it with fucking Jerry Stackhouse. He'd fight a motherfucker. That's awesome. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
The Spurs look like they were toast, but it all hinges on tonight's game from here. I'm not happy to, like, write up the Spurs right now, but I will, like, later tonight. If they're getting their asses kicked, it's like, yeah, that's all over. Everybody's jumped on and go, but the Spurs suck. I'm like, I kind of want to say the same thing, but it's going to be all to do with game two. And ready for Outback Takehouse? Let's do it. Get some shrimp on your takes. It's Monday. That means double shrimp, double takes. Also, double blooming onions. I don't know what the fuck they are, but they're pretty tasty. All right, the Warriors starting Andre Iguodala means they're scratching for anything to get them a win over the Spurs because they're afraid. Nah, they look fucking terrifying again, don't they? God damn it, Warriors. All right, so actual at-bat takeouts. The Blazers will win in five. Ooh, I like that one. All right, let's get to the Australian Player Watch right after these words.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stree, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. The Australian Player Watch. Let's do it. Ben Simmons, Big Simo, in his first ever playoff game, crushed it with a big win over the Heat. 17 points, 14 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 steals. Unreal. Patty Mills got torched by Clay and the Warriors. 5 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound. Not great, Patty. Ouch. Tough one. Patty had been crushing it as well. Past 8 games, was averaging 14, 4, and 2. Hopefully he bounces back. Jingling Joe Ingles lost to the OKC Thunder, went toe-to-toe with Paul George and came out bloodied and bruised the other side. Got caught a bitch ass as well. Reckon there's going to be a couple of elbows thrown into Paul George's ribs over the next couple of games there, Jingler. 13 didn't play too badly, though. 13 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He just got sucking into a bunch of bullshit fouls. End up with 5. His compatriot there, Kangaroo Kobe, Dante Exum, 18 minutes. He had 10 points. That's the second highest scoring playoff game ever for him. He had 15 last year. 4 of 6 from the field, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 3 turnovers though. So a bit of good and bad there for Kangaroo Kobe. And as mentioned earlier, Dele and Thon McCur both copped DMP CDs from the Bucks. And the Bucks lost. Coincidence? I think fucking not. Aaron Bangers Baines, not a great one for Bangers in the win over the Bucks. 15 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 4 from the field. He grabbed 3 rebounds and had 1 assist. Had 2 fouls, one of which was an absolute fucking joke of a moving screen call. Fucking so bad. No, it was a charge call. Yeah, blocking foul. Anyway, all good. Bangers will bounce back. And to be honest, they don't really need him too much in this series when they're playing against John Henson, Giannis at center. It'll really come in handy if the Celtics get through and end up playing like Valanciunas or sort of any of those dudes who are a little bit bigger. It's basically just Toronto at this point, isn't it? Maybe the Heat if they get through. Maybe Philly with Embiid. But still, there you go. On your bangers. And that's Australian Player Watch. Let's get to the Andrew Gaze Memorial. Fundamentally sound on your award. And this goes to Jet Terry. He went 1 of 1 from the field for the Bucks. And yes, Jet Terry playing in 2018 is not great, but I love Jet Terry. And that 1 of 1 that he hit was so fundamentally perfect. It was a big 3. And that's all he did all game. But I loved it. Loved the Jet. A perfect, fundamentally sound 3-pointer from Jet Terry. It could not have looked more perfect. So there you go. On your Jet, you are the Andrew Gaze Memorial. Fundamentally sound on your winner for this week. All right, let's get to tonight's game previews and the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board right after these ones.
G'day, this is Thon McCur, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. And Patty, he's gone into blackout mode. He's not tweeting. That's a bit of a shame. I love me some Patty Mills inspirational moments. But, I mean, it's going to be pretty tough, I guess, when you're going up against the Warriors and not feeling too inspirational. So let's just get to the game previews for tonight. Tonight, Monday, we've got 2 of them. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
For Monday, April 16th. First up, we've got the Heat at Sixers. Give it to us, Marv. Yes! Give it to me. Let's go, Big Simo! What do you think, Inadvertent Bane?
I believe Ben Simmons will win this by himself.
If they smash them here again, the Sixers over the Heat, this is great. It gives Embiid a little bit more breathing room, lets him chill out with his busted up face for just a little while longer. And obviously the Sixers won't shoot that, you know, historically great from 3 again. But it's up to them just to hit shots, lock down the Heat. In Philly with that awesome crowd, give me the Sixers. I feel like the Heat may figure out a little bit more of how to contain Big Simo, but I don't know. The rest of the Sixers are pretty good at the moment, so let's see how it goes. But give me the Sixers. I think it's going to be a closer one this time. And then the final game of the night, Spurs at Warriors. Can the Spurs bounce back? What do you reckon? Wouldn't it have been neat if Kawhi responded to Pop's constant needling like the on the weekend, whereas like You have to ask Kawhi and his group if they're going to join us. What do you reckon? If he just went, fuck that, and then came back, like game two. Kawhi's like, actually, I think I'm good to go now. Like, feels good. Let's do it. And Pop would be like, oh, okay, sweet. Would Pop play him? Of course he fucking would. Anyway, I think this is going to be closer than game one. And I still think the Warriors win. That's just how it goes. Spurs, man, there's just a gulf in class between the two teams, isn't there? LaMarcus Aldridge suddenly turned back into a fucking spud. The spud that we had seen all of his Spurs career until this year. And the Warriors just turned him straight back into that spud. It's like reverse Cinderella, I reckon. So yeah, there you go. Warriors, smash him. And you know what? That's it. Monday is done. Woo, what an episode. That was fun. Had a lot of stuff to talk about, covered it all. So that's it for today. We're back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. Going to be episode 99 tomorrow. Can you believe that? We've got, and I believe, this is now locked away. For episode 100, we have a very, very special guest. And yes, it is an NBA Strayant. I'll let you figure out from what era who it might be, but there you go. Episode 100 coming up. Very special guest, hopefully. I'll know more after episode 99, but it should be locked away and it should all be good. So get excited for that. All right, in the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook over there at NBA Australia. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your goddamn podcast from. Give us a 5-star rating and review. All smashes. And tell them, mate, go on. It's like, oi, do you like basketball there, dickhead? Why don't you listen to NBA Australia? Come on. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, their new band. They are the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, Stop, is an absolute corker. Go request it on Triple J. They're so fucking good. Extra special thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, the Ramshackle Army, and Sex Jedi for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them out at Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Delhi review. As our favourite son, King Delhi of Maryborough, first of his name, smasher of tins, gatherer of loose balls, reviews Pixar's Coco. Oh, Delhi reviewing Coco. I love it. All right, so let's do it. We'll catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Hosan! Oi, 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 how the fuck are yous? It's old mate Delhi over here, just swinging by from a usual pop culture review on NBA Australia, eh? So, like, I don't know, did you notice? I'm back! That's fucking right, mate. Finally played in my first game in over 2 months the other day. Felt fucking good too. Didn't hit a shot or anything, but, you know, just a bit rusty, mate. So, now it's the playoffs and we're playing fucking Boston. This is fucking sick as, bro. But, thing is, old mate Delhi over here didn't get a fucking running game one. Like, I don't know what Coach Joe's fucking doing, mate. Like, I'm ready and raring to go. Just fucking sick me on whoever you want to shut down on the Celtics and let me go to work. Like, do you really reckon that Flog Terry Rozier would have hit that go-ahead over fucking Delhi? Not on your fucking life, mate. If nothing else, I'd have decked the fucking bloke. Anyway, so look, all I can assume is that Coach is faking him out and lulling him into, like, a false sense of security. Like, it's the only thing that makes fucking sense. I mean, why else would I not be out there, mate? It's fucking bullshit, I reckon. Anyway, it's on to me review for this week. Like, and so the missus was all like, oi, Delhi, I want to watch Coco. And I'm all like, Coco? Isn't that some sort of kids movie or some shit? And she's all like, yeah, nah, but it's apparently real good. And I'm like, yeah, nah, all right, fucking bang it on. Because, like, you just got to look after the missus sometimes, you know? Just keep them happy. And I got to tell you, I fucking love Coco, mate. What a fucking movie. It had everything. Suspense, intrigue, action, love, couple of tears, eh? Like, fucking, it's all about this little Mexican kid and his fucking family and his fucking guitar and, like, fucking skeletons and shit. And it's a fucking pooler. Like, there won't be a dry eye in the house, mate. And it's not just for kids, eh? Adults will fucking love it. It's real good. It's almost as good as the time your best mate Plugger back in Maryborough, he laid Apache in the Macca's car park that bloody spelled out a P for Plugger. And it was so dirty that it's still fucking there like 8 years later. Fucking legendary Plugger. Fucking on you, mate. So there you go, like, Coco, it's got all the skeletons, it's got the sick fucking guitar and shit, it's all a bit weird. It's fucking tops as though. I'll easily give it 10 out of 10 Deli Ones, so give it a squeeze quick smart. And there you go. Alright, that's basically it for this week, so hopefully Coach will put me in for tomorrow's game, and I'll be back next week. Alright, later cunts, Deli out.